The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening again. We're in our weekly excursion through the Chovos HaLevavos Shaar HaBitochon. However, this evening, not knowing exactly what is going on at this moment in Eretz Yisrael, but this sense of danger and concern that we all have as to what's happening today in these days in this milchoma, this war that's going on, and having deep concern for our soldiers and our brothers and sisters who are victims of the attacks that are continuing to come on the towns of southern Israel. I thought that it was appropriate to use this opportunity as a springboard for a deeper appreciation of Bitochen and for a chizuk in Bitochen, which certainly and hopefully and certainly can have a positive effect upon our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Truth of the matter is that many have wondered, asked the question, and some have not asked the question, but was a bit strange. We say Tehillim if there's a milchoma going on, so we're going to say a few kapitlach Tehillim. We're going to say Shir HaMalois, Mima Amakim. We're going to say Shir Lamalos, Esorina El Hehorim, and the likes of them. Kapitlach Tehillim. Now, what's strange about the Psalms that we say is that they don't talk at all about a request for the issues that we're concerned about. Yachel Yisroel al Hashem, ki yim Hashem achesed v'arbi mefudus, lo yiftes Yisroel mikol avinu yisof. Psukim abitochon. Ezra mim Hashem v'yisei shamayim v'oretz. My help comes from Hashem, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Hine lo yonu v'lo yishon shemer Yisroel. The one who guards Klal Yisroel does not sleep. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilch. Maybe that's a little bit of a request. We say Tehillim, and most of the Psalms don't ask anything in terms of the tzora that we face. If we say it for a sick person, at the end we say a mishaberach. If we say it for a tzora like this that's going on in Eretz Yisrael now, so we say achinu kol beis Yisroel hanasuna batzora vashivyo hoimde ma'amokim yirachim aleim. There's a tefillah at the end, but the Tehillim themselves are no tefillah. What's going on over here? What are we doing? Why are we saying it? What are Tehillim? Well, what Tehillim really represents in the most direct sense is inspiration to Bitochon. David HaMelech wrote so many praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which bespeak his kindness, his chesed, our ability to rely on him. Inspiration to trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachel Yisroel al Hashem, await Hashem, ki yim Hashem achesed v'harbi imoy fedus. Hashem is full of chesed and redemption. That's an inspiration to be tochum. That's what it is. Nafshenu chiksol Hashem, Mizreinu mogineinu. It's expression. V'ani b'chastecho v'tachti, yogel libi b'shuasecho. I trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's inspiration to be tochum. What does it have to do with the tzora at hand? It's very poshut that we say Tehillim, and we inspire ourselves with greater bitochen. And the schus, the merit of that bitochen, works to help the people who are sick, works to help the people who are wounded, works to help the people that are fighting the battle for the survival of Jews and Eretz Yisroel, and that Hashem should help them. Tehillim is an inspiration to bitochen, and that is the power of the Tehillim. The inspired bitochen, the enhanced bitochen that we have achieved is a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that schus, because we have achieved that bitochen, because we are putting our trust or further trust in Him, he responds by helping and by answering our request. The truth of the matter is that this same idea seems to be, at least according to the Avnei Eliyahu, which is brought from the Vilna Goyin, find in the Siddur Hagro, in the Vilna Goyin Siddur, this seems to be the essence of tefillah as well. The Goyin says that the root of the word tefillah, now tefillah is this concept of praying, of turning to Hashem and praying. In the words of Chazal, it's called Avodah Shebelev. V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem ula'ovdoi, serve Him b'chol uvavchem. And if you serve Him with your heart, then it has to be not a word, it has to be an emotion. Tefillah has to have a certain emotion, because with your heart, it's not words. Words are with the lips. The heart, if you're serving Hashem with the heart, in the heart, b'chol uvavchem, then there's an emotion. What's the emotion of tefillah? So the Goyin seems to say that the word tefillah, which describes what you're doing with your heart, the shirish of that word will describe the essence that we know in Loshon HaKodesh of what that word is, of the essence of the concept. The shirish is based on a posuk that we find in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, when he comes to him for the brocha, he says, Re'oi ponecho loy pilolti. I never allowed myself to think optimistically that I would ever see you again. And now, I'm zoiche even to see your children. The Loshon pilolti, which means thinking, a Loshon of like a positive machshova, an optimistic machshova. I'm thinking, I think I'm going to see you. That is the sherish, he says, of tefillah. Tefillah is an optimistic thought. And he continues and says that every request that we make in Shmon Esrei, we end with Boruch Atah Hashem Mevorech Hashonim. We say, you're the Mekor, you're the source of all brochas, and what do? You give brocha to the years. Boruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. Boruch Atah Hashem, Reifei Choylei Amu Yisrael. You heal the sick. That's what you do. We are counting on you. We are thinking and optimistically reliant upon you. So the essence of the concept of the tefillah is this positive machshova, is this confidence, is this thought. Yes, Hashem is Mevorech Hashonim. Yes, V'lam al shinim al tihi sikvo. Destroy all of the wickedness in this world. Boruch Atah Hashem, you're the source of all brochos. You break the backs of our enemies and you humble the haughty. This is what we count on you to do, because we have this positive machshavot, and this is what you do. So tefillah is really a process of feeling these machshavos in the heart and developing a sense of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in a sense, the tefillah, the Shmon Esrei that we say, and other tefillahs as well, together, they inspire bitochen. And the schus of this inspired bitochen allows us to merit things that we otherwise wouldn't have merited. Because, you know, the question that everybody asks is that if you were supposed to get something, if you were worthy of getting it, Hashem would have given it to you without tefillah. So what do you need tefillah for? The Teretz says tefillah is for those things that we didn't merit. We may not have enough merit to win this battle now, but in the schus of our tefillah, which inspires a greater bitochin, in the schus of that bitochin in Hashem, and that unique appreciation of Hashem, because I have that bitochin means a very strong appreciation of His kindness. And because now I am connected more deeply with Him in the light of that appreciation, and the merit of that elevated spiritual state can generate now merit which will allow me to earn, allow me to receive, whether it's that now I earned it because I now have moschus, or whether it's this is a vehicle to bring forth Hashem's rachmonis on me, be that as it may, however it works, but it's a schus, it comes out that now because of my enhanced bitochen, I am able to achieve and receive things that I never could have. And that's really what we have to focus on in these moments. If we do anything to enhance our bitochen, and studying the halochas in depth, we've mentioned many times, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says that that is one of the most powerful things. Studying the basic sources, the Torah sources in depth about any inyan, inspires the commitment and the fulfillment and the following and the development of that inyan, so too with bitochen. And any schus that we may have In enhanced bitochen, certainly works for us, for our families, and it should certainly work for Achenu Kol Beis Yisroel, that these terrible tzoras, a life of constant fear. I mean, when you read about it or when it's described, what it is to have 10 seconds after a siren to take cover and to know that you're living like that every day, in these towns that are close enough to be under the fire range of Hamas. It's like it's something that's so pathetic. It's so hard to relate to. It's so painful. And seeing it blow up to a full-fledged milchama, of course, attracts much more attention. You know, we get used to it after a while. Another few missiles, 10 missiles today, 15 missiles today. You know, we become a little bit immune or callous. But when there's a milchama going on, we're really more energized and sensitized. And we have to use this opportunity to strengthen ourselves in bitochen. And in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Just one more thought about this, which I think is also relevant before we begin our regular discussion here. In the Kapitel Kuf Mem Beis, where David HaMelech speaks about Maskil David, he was hiding, taking refuge from his enemies, hiding from his enemies in a cave, and he calls out to Hashem. He says, Habet yomin ora'ei ve'ein li makir. He says, look around, nobody recognizes me, there's no one there to help me. Ovad monois bimeni, all refuge is lost from me, I have no place to run, I have no place to hide. Ein deirish lenafshi, there's no one out there that's looking out, trying to help me. And then he says, Zoakti elecho Hashem, I cried out to you, Omarti atomachsi, you are my place of refuge, Chelki beres hachayim. And I believe it's the Radak that says one word over there. He says, before the word Zoakti elecho, I cried out to you, he says, Lefikoch, therefore, because I have realized Ein derech lenafshi, have no one to turn to. Because I have realized, Ovad monois mimeni, there's no place of refuge. That's why I call out to you. I ask you a question. If you have a tzora, if you're being pursued by an enemy, if a milchoma is going on, and you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything, so you call out to ask him to stop. It's only because you have no one else to turn to? It's only because the world is, there's no one in the world that's going to step up to the plate to help you? It's only because nobody could care less what happens to you? Therefore, lefikoch zoakti lech Hashem? It sounds like that the optimum state of tefillah and mimela, that sense of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an outgrowth of total desperation. We have no place to turn. Nobody cares. No one's interested. There's no place to hide. It's impossible. It looks like there's no hope. Then, lefikoch, now I'm capable of crying out. When we have other eitzes, I think maybe the United Nations is going to help me. I think maybe the world armies and powers will step in to help me. Maybe I think my own military prowess is going to help me. If we think that we have any koiches, and in a sense, we're in a better situation here now for tefillah and bitochen than ever before. Why? Because if you recall, the last war, so to speak, that Israel fought was not a resounding success in the north. That was far from a success. That was our worst moment. And therefore we come now, not with the gaiva, not with the ego, not with the confidence of previous battles that we're invincible, where we can't be beat. We were beaten or whatever, it was whitewashed, but it was very, very sad. And therefore we come now, ein derech lenafshi, ein monos avad monos mimeni. We don't have that power that we thought we used to have, or that we used to have, or that we thought we had. Lefikoch zoakti elecho Hashem, omarti ato machzi. And that's really the in a sense, that's the good news. The good news is that we're now in a position to strengthen our tefillah, to strengthen our bitochen, and we know that, especially in the context of what we learn here, that the power of this tefillah and the power of this tefillah that enhances our bitochen is a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, and in that schus, we should taka accept our prayers, and we should be zeichet to hear news that puts an end to this tragic suffering that our people are forever, seemingly forever to be, or forever threatened with. Okay. We were holding by the seventh of the, in the first Hakdoma, the seventh of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are critical for us to be able to put our trust in Him. He spoke about them for trust in a person, and now He's playing them out and explaining them as terms of our relationship with Hashem. Vashvi, sheyizbor etzloi. It has to be clear to the boiteach, to the one who wishes to develop bitochon. Ki yesh lechol ha-havayos sheba'olam hazeh me'etzem u'mikre gvul yodua. Everything that takes place in this world, whether it's etzem from the basis of creation, or mikre, things that happen, have a gvul. Everything is, you know, gvul samto bal ya'avoyrun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets the gvulos. V'lo yosif, v'lo yigra. And it will not be added to, nor diminished. Al ma shegozar ha-boire yisborach. On that which Hashem has decreed. I have to realize that not only is Hashem in charge of the whole world, but everything has a gvul. And there's nothing here that can be added or diminished other than that which is nigzar, which is decreed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bekamusoi, in its amount. Beechusoi, in its quality. Quantity, kamusoi, quality, echusoi. Uzmanoi, in its time. Umekoimoi, and its place. Ein marbe lamashe gozar bemiutoi. There's no adding, there's no expanding that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed in smallness. And there's no diminishing that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed in the broader way. And it can't even be delayed that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed should be earlier. And it cannot be brought forward earlier that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has goes out to be later. Unbelievable, the way he goes to detail of every single possible aspect. And this we know we've mentioned many times, because in order to internalize an emotion, the more the detail, the more the graphic description of all of the nuances, the more the message can penetrate from the mind to the heart. It's the Rebbe Yisrael Salanter used to call that tzir chushi. It's like a picture with the senses. You see it. You see it in front of you. He can't be early and it can't be later. It can't be more. It can't be less. Not in quality and not in quantity. Not in time and not in place. It paints the ultimate picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's total control and total gzera edict, decree of everything according to His decree, without any even minute exception or difference or change. That which will be from these things, this is the nigzar, that's all it's going to be. Asher kodeh b'tchilas hayedia, which came in the beginning of Hashem's yediyah. I guess Hashem knows everything that's going to be, and this probably refers to that. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew all this was going to be. He knows everything. He decreed everything. Everything. He's in total control. You know, there used to be a song, He got the whole wide world in His hands. Well, that's very nice. So when you sing it, maybe it sends a certain message, but it's not as graphic. He got the world in His hands. So you see, okay, He's holding the globe. No. Every nuance of every movement of every situation, not earlier, not later, not bigger, not smaller, not changed in any way, all big zerosei, That's a picture that gives us that sense of how he's in control of everything. Elo shelachol hagzeros hakoidmes v'yedias haberi sibos v'lasibos sibos. He says, however, what does happen is that he cloaks these gzeros in natural causes. In other words, it does look that because you planted a seed and you nurtured it properly and you watered it properly, it does look like you made the seed grow. You know, but no, he made the seed grow. It's b'gzeirosoi. It's because he was gezer everything to be. How all of this works, you know, and the famous questions about if he knows everything, where's a man's bechira, and this is not for now. But the realization of the totality of control and in every single aspect of creation is also critical for a person to have bitochen. Because if a person feels that there's, I mean, what is the reason for this being so critical? Because if a person feels even for a moment that there's something else that I could do, there's something that somebody could do, there's something that can be done, It impinges, it compromises my trust in Hashem, because I'm trusting Him to do everything. If there's another alternative, if there's a nuance of it that can be brought about in some other way, if I can bypass His gzeira in even the slightest mechanism, then I no longer have that total trust in Him. This is a prerequisite for that total trust that He's in total control and involvement in everything. Umi she'eino meivin in yoni ha'olam yachshev. Person who doesn't understand the reality of this world, ki hasiba hamischadeshes mechayeves shinui ho'inyonim v'hishapchusam me'inyonim. One would think that the new causes that happen when something happens, somebody plants and somebody shoots and somebody whatever it may be, he does something, you know, he cause and effect, he does any action or motion or activity or hishtadlus, That's what's mechayev the shinoi. That's what causes changes to take place, and the opposite of them from one thing to another. He says, no, that's not true. V'hasibo chalusha unekalo meheyois mimeno shinoi oichilof ba'atzmam. He says, the sibo, the cause, is too weak, too soft to be the source of any shinui that takes place. No matter what we do, anything we do, and the truth of the matter is, you know, you plant a seed. If not for all of the ingredients that are necessary, including the strength, the thought, the accessibility of the seed, the choice of a seed that has the ability to, that's not rotten, that has the ability to develop, and everything else about it is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we actually have no koyach in that whatsoever. Well, he gives an example. He says the existence, the coming about, the creation of Odom and other Balei Chaim from a drop of zera, a drop of seed. Or take the big fish that comes from the fish egg with all of its tininess. The tiniest little egg is producing this whale, this super, super big fish. He says, and the tirdus of the nefesh, the efforts that the nefesh gets involved to make what Hashem wants to come later, to make it early, and to make later what He wants to come early, and to make more what He wants to be less, and to make less what He wants to make more, mikinyoni ho'olam, from worldly possessions, mibli sibe velkiyu mitzvos avodosoi v'kibul torosoi, chalishu sahakora ba'amitas yediyosoi v'sichlus mehovin tevas hanogosoi. He says, thinking that you could do anything about it, except, and here he introduces something very interesting, mibli sabev el kium mitzvos avedosoi vekibul toirosoi. What are the things that can cause differences in the world? No physical activity, no chemical activity, no scientific activity, no human activity, no nothing, except one thing that could cause a difference in the world. Sibev el kium, the efforts of kium mitzvahs avodosoi, the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of service of Hashem, and kibul teirosoi, and the acceptance of his Torah. Those things that we do to bring about, to bring ourselves to properly serve Hashem and to properly accept his Torah, those are the only koiches that really influence anything. So that we have the physical prowess that we have, the apparent, the alleged ability to make something happen a little faster, to make it happen a little slower, to make it happen a little bigger. I'm going to enhance the produce, I'm going to decrease it, I'm going to influence that. Forget it. You ain't got nothing. There is no koyach over there. And that is needed in order to put our trust in Hashem, because we have to recognize the fullness of the extent of his control and involvement in every minute detail of everything that takes place. Except for one thing, that is mibli sibev el kiyum mitzvah avedosoi, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of his service, v'kibul teros, and the acceptance of his Torah. Anything other than this is chalishas ha'hakora ba'amitas yediyosoi. Anything is a weakness of recognizing of the truth of Hashem's power and Hashem's knowledge. V'sichlus mehoven tevis hanagosoi. And folly, foolishness, from understanding the good of Hashem's conduct of the world. So there's only one koyach that we have. And that koyach is the fulfillment of mitzvahs avodosoi and kibul teirosoi, and the acceptance of his Torah. Now it sounds, this is a very strange lotion, because he doesn't really say the only thing is mitzvahs and learning. He talks about kiyum mitzvahs avodosoi, the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of avodas Hashem, and the kibul of teirosoi, and the acceptance of his Torah. That seems to be the koyach. It sounds almost as if the specifics of the mitzvahs are also details in the essential concept. But the essential concept is kiyum, the mitzvah of avoda amen ever Hashem. In other words, whatever he says, that's what I'm doing. It almost doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but it almost is even the doing is not what directly has the influence on the world. It's I'm an Eved. I'm beholden to him. He's the master. I'm the Eved. I'm Meshubin. I'm obligated to do whatever he directs me. That sense of Avdus. And I'm Mekabel upon myself the Torah. I'm Mekabel Torah. That's it. I'm accepting the Torah. It sounds like, and that's why, by the way, I believe, if this Lashon, if I'm correct in the implication of this Lashon, that's why I believe that when we find machlekes, when we find difference of opinion in protim in halacha, there's no need to be concerned. Because some people say, well, what does Hashem want? Does he want me to make, it's a machlekes b'shamay b'shillel? Does he want me to make the brocha on the wine before I say the Kiddush on Friday night? Or does Beis Shammai says you make the brocha on the Kiddush, the Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then you say Borei Priya Gofen? Well, which does Hashem want? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both the words of Hashem. Well, what does he want from me? I don't know. And how could there be an argument? And I'm all confused. And how could, who, one must be wrong, one must be right. How could you call them Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim? What's going on over here? And I think according to this, the answer is very simple. Because the essence of what the power of our connection to our Kodesh Baruch Hu is the kiyum mitzvahs avidosei. I'm an Eved. I'll do whatever he tells me. Whatever. If I'm a Talmud of Shammai, I'll make the brocha later. I'll make the other brocha first. So what? And I'm mekabel the Torah of Shammai, whatever he tells me. And if I'm a Talmud of Hillel, I'll make the brocha before. That makes no difference, because it's not the way that you do the mitzvah. It's the kibul mitzvahs avodosoi and kibul teirosoi. And that's really what happens. What do? We study a sugya in Torah. That's what Shammai did. That's what Hillel did. And we come, using the system of Torah, we come to a halachic conclusion. And there is room for different variations in the halachic conclusion, because every person has a different perspective. And each one sees things according to the Meforshim called the Shoresh HaNeshoma. He has a certain root of his personal being, his neshama, his personality, and sees things accordingly. And as long as he's using the system of Torah, as both Shammai and Hillel did, and he comes to whatever halachic conclusion he comes to, he is in the geder of mitzvahs avedosei v'kibul teirosei. That's what counts. And whether he ends up with this halacha or that halacha, whether the chicken ends up kosher or treif, if it came from the system of Torah, it was with a mitzvah, avedosa, whatever Hashem says, whatever the halacha is, I'm ready to do, and I'm mekabel the authority of Torah, the Torah. That's what matters, and therefore machlekes is not really a problem that should bother us. And if, maybe I shouldn't have gotten involved in this little foray in the side, but just to take it one step further, and if we are in fact concerned about the fact that, well, how could they see it differently? Like, what is the Sheirish Neshoma? What is it that each person has a perspective and he sees things according to his own Neshoma, his own perspective, he hears things according to his own intuitive senses, and both can be legitimate. I refer you to the following. I don't know how many people are familiar, and I don't know if this is what we're here for this evening, but there's a French tune, and it's known as Frère Jacques. Are you sleeping, Brother John? Morning bells are ringing. That's the words, and they sing it. There's a certain tune. They sing it in different languages, and they describe the sound of the morning bells. And I've heard it described in French, and in English, and in Hebrew, and more recently even in Russian. And each one describes the sound of the bell completely different. The same bell. In French, they say, morning bells are ringing, sunny la mattina, dan dan dong. That's the way the French hear the bell that rings. The Americans say, ding dong ding. The Israelis say, tzil tzil tzil. And I heard that the Russians say, boom boom boom. The same bell. What's going on? We have a certain hearing that we've gotten used to. Do you know, there are people in certain cultures, let's say for an example, an Israeli speaking English may not understand if you say pen or pan, a pan or a pen, they may not hear the difference. You know, pan or pen, same thing, because they're not used to that nuance. Everyone has their own nuances. Everyone has, and they're all legitimate. And I imagine that a real bell has all of those sounds in it, depending on the nuance and the uniqueness of one's hearing ability and how it's been nurtured or how it's been whatever. So anyway, so that I think is what he's referring to over here in a little bit of an extended discussion. Okay. Ukvar romas hechochom elu'inyan hazeh. And he says, the chochom Shlomo HaMelech, who's called the chochom, has hinted to this thing when he says, la'koil zman ve'eis l'chol chefetz tachas hashomoyim. He says, for everything there's a time. And there's a time for any chayfetz, anything, any desire, anything that takes place, any situation under the heavens. V'achakach zocha mehem, esrim ushmoino inyonim, v'hu ma'ashomar eis lo ledes ve'eis lo mus, ad omro eis milchomo ve'eis sholim. And all of these things are lakoil zman, all nigzar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So this is the concept, he says, Shlomo HaMelech taught us, and he says there's 28 examples in Keheles of the different, there's time for this and time for that, time for this, time for that, and everything is all big zera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this realization is critical for a person to be able to achieve the state of bitochon, because if he thinks that any of these things are influenceable by any human means or achievement other than kibul kiyum mitzvos avodos v'kibul terosoi, then he is going to miss out. He won't be able to put his total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, if he realizes that it's only kibul avodos kiyum avodos mitzvos avodos v'kibul terosoi, so then he realizes the only way I can influence what happens in this world is if I go with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's terms. If I accept his Torah, that's an influence, because that's through him. That's working through him. That's like, in a sense, I'm not sure what the pshat is. You see, in a sense, a person who accepts upon himself the service of Hashem and Torah, in a sense, is the greatest expression of bitochon. I trust Hashem to lead my life according to what he dictates. That's a trust. I ask you, the people, I know there's someone that we know in the yeshiva, whose great-grandfather, I believe it was, they say had 82 jobs in the first 2 years that he came to this country at the turn of the last century. 82 jobs, because every Shabbos he wouldn't come into work. Monday morning, goodbye. Now I ask you, the Shmira Shabbos was not the greatest expression of his trust in Hashem? What is he saying by keeping Shabbos? I'm keeping Shabbos. It means I trust Hashem that this is what I'm supposed to do, and whatever I need and whatever has to be, he'll take care of. So in a sense, any Siva that I do, if I think I can make it come earlier or later or this or that's me. That's taking away from my trust in Hashem. But if it's through Torah and mitzvahs, that's the expression of trust in Hashem. Memela, that's the only koyach that really exists. Ve'omar, he quotes again from Kelski, Eis vofega yikra eskulam. He says something there, the right time and the occurrence will happen to all of them. That's all from Hashem. Ve'omar ki govoa me'al govoa shemer u'gvoyim aleihim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is me'al u'me'ever, above and above everything. And he guards and protects and makes sure that everything occurs and happens according to the way it is. And it seems that this is a most critical a concept that we need to know. Let me just one more paragraph before we get to the next hakdoma, which we'll leave for next. V'halichos dinei habayra yisalo yosem ne'alomis v'amukos v'elyonis mehagia el yadiyas chelkein. Kol shekein klolo. Says that understanding how this works, the different aspects of how Hashem, how the machination of all of these, so there's a gzera, and it's going to come at a certain time, and it's going to come in a certain place, and especially that people are involved in it, that people have bechira, and yet still it's all nigzar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? A person has a bechira to shoot a gun at someone, yet Reb Chaim Brisker taught us, every bullet has an address. If it's not addressed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's not nigzar from him, it's not going to happen. But yet people do have a bechira. They have a bechira to shoot missiles, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. So how this works, he says, is beyond us. And he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki govu shomayim me'oretz, just as the heaven is so far above the earth, kein govu drochai midarcheichem u'machshevoisai mimachshevoiseichem. So too is my ways are so much higher than your ways, anything you can comprehend, and my thoughts much more than your thoughts. So in other words, I think this final little paragraph over here on this Hakdoma, on the seven pieces which are part of the Hakdoma, things that we must know about Hashem, I think it ends telling us, you know, it's a little bit hard, it's hard to swallow, because it's something that's beyond our comprehension, that it seems that we live in a world where we have cause and effect. I plant a seed and something grows. I go to work and I get a paycheck. Well, that today we see is not such a cause and effect anymore. But I break something and it breaks. I pick something up and it's elevated. I put something down. I eat food and I seem to be satiated. There seems to be such a natural cause and effect in this world. Yet you're telling us that in order to really be a true Baal Bitochen, one who truly puts his full trust in Hashem, he has to see this world as all Bigzeras Kel Elyon. Ace this and ace that. It's all from Hashem. Ace Vafega. Everything is from Hashem. He says that's a little complicated. That's a little hard. Because if our hands would be tied in this world and we had no physical power, no mental power to do anything, so you understand it's all from Hashem. But when we live in a world where we see clearly that what I do has consequences, it's very hard to understand that everything is bigzeira. So he says, calm down, don't get too excited, because just as heaven is so much higher than the earth, so too my ways are so far above your ways. I live in a different realm. My machshavas are in a different world. And basically he's telling us that we can't really comprehend how this world really works with Hashem's control and involvement in everything, even though we have an apparent input of Sibus that we cause to happen. So that is the last of this total hakdoma of the concepts that we need to know in order to be able to fully put our trust in Hashem. And I think that One of the elements, and I've mentioned this, I believe, before, which come to play in this thing is something I quote, actually, my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was an early teacher for me of what bitochen is. I remember once she made a statement. She said, "Du musst haben bitochen. Du hast kein Brainer nicht. You have to have bitochen. You have no choice." You see, any time there's a choice, you know, I can really do something. You know, I don't have to rely on Hashem. I got money in the bank. I got an MBA from Harvard. I got this. I have a zaitza. I could do this. I could do that. I got a trick. I got a bag of tricks up my sleeve. It's very hard to put that total trust in Hashem because, in a sense, I'm still counting on my bag of tricks. But it's when I have no choice, when I have nothing to do, I have no capability, I'm completely hopeless. That's when a person can come to put his trust in Hashem. So we have to be able, in order to reach the highest levels of bitochon, the ultimate levels of bitochon, fully recognizing the totality of Hashem's control and his chesed, we have to be able to view the world as totally in his control. That we have absolutely no input, that anything we do has no influence, and it's all because of that control. Let's hope and pray that in these critical days where the future of so much of Eretz Yisrael is at stake, where the danger is so intense and so great, that we can use our tefillos, as we mentioned before, to inspire these positive machshovas of trusting Hashem, that He's the Shever Oivim Umachnia Zedim, that He's the Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, that He's the Mevorei Hashonim, that He's the Goyel Yisroel, that He's the Shemea Tfilah, and we should be able to strengthen through these machshovas our bitochen in Hashem. And with our reciting of tefillos and with our reciting of tilim, we should be able to inspire ourselves to further bitochon. And in the schus, in the merit of that bitochon, which is a koyach that's beyond any koyach in the world, that we should be zeiche, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillos and should recognize and embrace the schus of our bitochon. And it should serve as a great merit and a great koyach for the Yeshua, for Klal Yisrael, for the particular matzav that's going on now, and for the security and the future of all of Am Yisrael.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org. Where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.